Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Today on the program, we're going to talk about work. It's Labor Day time, so we're going to talk with Dr. Chris Bergwald about what it means to work and how that work might fit into our faith life. Hope you'll stick around for that interview. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully. For thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all of these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. James. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees and some of the experts in the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They had observed a few of his disciples eating meals without having purified, that is to say, washed their hands. The Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, cling to the custom of their ancestors and never eat without scrupulously washing their hands. Moreover, first sprinkling it. There are many other traditions they observe, for example, the washing of cups and jugs and kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of our ancestors, but instead take food without purifying their hands?" He said to them, "How accurately Isaiah prophesied about you hypocrites when he wrote, 'This people pays me lip service, but their heart is far from me. Empty is the reverence they do me, because they teach as dogmas mere human precepts. You disregard God's commandment and cling to what is human tradition.'" He summoned the crowds again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and try to understand. Nothing that enters a man from outside can make him impure. That which comes out of him, and only that, constitutes impurity. Let everyone heed what he hears. Wicked designs come from the deep recesses of the heart, acts of fornication, theft, murder, adulterous conduct, greed, maliciousness, deceit, sensuality, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, an obtuse spirit. All these evils come from within and render a man impure." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin. Here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the seminarians of the diocese recently got together for their summer gathering at Broomtree Retreat and Conference Center near Irene. The seminarians were joined by Bishop Paul J. Swain, Vocations Director Father Sean Haggerty, and Associate Vocations Director Father Jordan Sampson. During the gathering, the men gathered for fellowship, sharing, and prayer before returning to their respective seminaries for another year of study. You can read and see more about the seminarians and their summer gathering in the September edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, after flash floods in mid-August forced more than 100 residents of the Greenbrier, that is, older adult community in Brick, New Jersey, from their homes, local agencies, including those connected with the Catholic Church, stepped up to help. Storms battered the community near the Atlantic shore with up to 8 inches of rain recently, leaving furniture and clothing soaked, lifelong possessions destroyed, and residents wondering what to do next. Without flood insurance and no help expected from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, residents days after the storm were grateful for the help from several parishes and Catholic charities of the Diocese of Trenton, New Jersey. Tears came to Holly Basile's eyes that week as she recounted memories of losing her father roughly 20 years to the day of the storm. Plus, Basile's mother, Peggy Smith, spent the night of the storm in the hospital after suffering what her family called a mini stroke. A recovering Smith returned to her flood-damaged home in the following days. "I'm Catholic, but I don't care if we've got Lutherans or Baptists working. We've got everyone working together. I'm upset inside about the devastation, but I'm overwhelmed with the joy for these people helping out," said Smith, a member of St. Martha Parish in nearby Point Pleasant, New Jersey. "I don't know what the people here and myself would do without the help of the people out here who are working so hard. They're wonderful." Bishop Michael G. Duca, the new bishop of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, said the faithful are called to do more than just be good Catholics, but to pick up the mission of Jesus during his installation mass. "Without the mission, our faith can just become self-serving. We become holier than thou's, and we think, oh, what a good church we have because we are all so good," Bishop Duca told the 700-plus people attending the ceremony during his homily. "It's the mission of going out beyond our walls and bringing the love of Christ to those around us." Recalling how Pope Francis has repeatedly urged people to go out to the peripheries of the world, Bishop Duca said, "It's by going to where people are hurting that your faith becomes alive. During confirmation, you're being confirmed with these gifts. You're doing what the apostles did after they received the Holy Spirit. They went out, go, and announce the gospel of the Lord. The key is in the mission," he said. The installation at St. Joseph Cathedral began as Bishop Duca knocked on the door of the church with a rubber mallet, signaling his wish to come in. When the doors opened wide, the bishop walked into a packed house singing "Lift High the Cross." Retired Bishop Thomas J. O'Brien of Phoenix, Arizona, died this week. He was 82 and had been feeling the growing effects of Parkinson's disease in recent months. Bishop O'Brien ran the diocese for 21 years, which included, over that time, visits by Pope St. John II and St. Teresa of Calcutta. He resigned as bishop in Phoenix in 2003, 3 days after hitting a man with a car. In February 2004, he was found guilty of leaving the scene of a fatal accident. The man Bishop O'Brien hit was crossing during a dark night in the middle of the block. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
All right, Gene, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Dr. Chris Bergwell. This is, for all intents and purposes, our Labor Day program.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Not airing necessarily on Labor Day, but we want to talk about, you know, really, I guess, from the Catholic perspective, what is it about labor that we ought to be thinking about? What is it about the value of work that we might consider and do so, I guess, in a from the perspective of faith.
Yep. Yeah. What as we celebrate, as we do every year, that's an interesting, just to pause on that, actually, Jerry. Mm-hmm. As a society, as a country, we celebrate Labor Day. And I don't know, frankly, even though I'm prepared to talk about the church's perspective, right now I'm struck by that. I don't think I've ever thought about the fact before that as a country, as a society, we celebrate a day called Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we get into this, we're gonna unpack the significance of, forget what the church says, just the fact that as a country, we do that.
The history of the country, I think, in relationship to work is interesting because to hear tell from people who live in other cultures, Americans are crazy about work.
Right. Yes. That's, yes.
we're just over the top with work. Now, I don't know that we all feel that all the time, but I think some of us do feel that some of the time.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely some truth to that. I mean, I've throughout the course of my life lived for shorter periods of time maybe than others, but in other countries. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely true. Now, there may be parts of the world where they work at the same pace that we do as Americans, but there is something about our culture, our society, where we can be a very driven people, where it's not really, well, an expectation internal, if nothing else. Forget your boss or whoever, your supervisor. We like have almost a compulsion to work. Again, as you said, that's not true of literally every single American, but that, I think that's definitely a cultural reality, I think.
And I've heard tell, particularly of those who are Midwestern, and it would go so far as to say even the Dakotas in particular, that they are at the high end of that.
Right.
In other words, people like, I've heard tell, employers love hiring people from this part of the world because they know they will be hard workers.
Right, right. That we're going to work.
There's something in us.
Yeah. And just to anticipate, maybe we'll come back to this. Maybe we won't. So we'll say it now. There's hard work is one thing, but balance, integration is also important. There is a day of rest, mm-hmm. and we'll get to actually the scripture in a little bit. But there's the reality that there is a day of rest that we are asked to rest from our work and prioritize.
So I think part of the reality that we have to acknowledge is that historically, work happened, and particularly the hard work of life happened because it had to. If you were going to survive, if you were going to have food on your table at the end of the day, you didn't have a choice. You had to work.
Yep. And I think, I would suspect that in many ways, the fact that Midwesterners still have that really strong work ethic reflects the still present agricultural context of, it's the same thing. I mean, a farmer has to work in order to sell crops, mm-hmm. Ranchers, et cetera, and so on. You can't just mail it in, if you will, and get a paycheck in those professions.
No.
And that obviously ranching, farming is very much a part of, here in South Dakota at least, our way of life. So I think that provides some of that context that you're just speaking to.
And I will go a little bit further and talk about, the nature of work isn't all the same either.
Right.
So, I mean, I grew up on a farm. We worked very hard. But in the mix of that work, there was a fair amount of fun. There was a fair amount of interaction. There was a fair amount of the rest of life, if you will, being a part of that as well.
Yep.
Relationships were critical.
Yep.
And they weren't lost because we were so focused on the work. So that integration, I think, is something else we probably have to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, and I do, there's that, it's an American saying, I think. I don't think it came from another country. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I mean, so we recognize that it's possible to work too much, to allow it to dominate too much of our time and attention. There is that balance, the integration again.
So where does the word and I use this carefully because I'm not trying to disparage anyone. Where does the word greed come into this? Where we are so obsessed with the work that we're doing and the type of work that we're doing and what it leads us to?
Yeah, do you care if I take a circuitous?
Go for it.
Okay,
go for it.
So work is part and parcel of the human condition, and it was that from the beginning. So I mentioned scripture earlier. Very in the very beginning of scripture, God tells, created man and woman in Genesis 2. Mm-hmm. We read that he put them in the garden and said, this is Genesis 2:15, to cultivate and care for it, for the garden. Cultivate. This is before the fall. This is before Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan, by the serpent, before they committed the first original sin. God told them to cultivate and care for, or till and keep, in other translations, the garden, to work. And that's always been part, the church, the people of Israel, the church have always remembered that reality, that to work is part of our human condition. We are God's stewards. And often when was the end of July, we had a stewardship conference here in our diocese. And a big point that people who talk about stewardship try to make is this is not just about money and giving. This is about us being stewards. What's a steward? The steward is somebody who is not the master of the household, but who has been in charge and entrusted by the master with a responsibility for caring for the household. And given so not only responsibilities, but also and duties, but also the ability and gifts to accomplish that. You and I, every human person, not just Catholics, not just Christians, not just the Jewish people, every human being is intended by God to be a steward. He's gifted us, and he expects us to, with his own property, if you will, and he expects us to use that well. And we see that going all the way back to before the fall, to the literally ancient human history, where God created us to work, to produce, to bring things forth, whether it's from the earth or from our minds. Mm-hmm. Intellectual work, physical work, every form of labor is a good thing. St. John Paul II wrote one of his early encyclicals, I think maybe his third encyclical, was called Laborum Exercens. It's on the dignity of human work. And he spends a lot of time unpacking this, going back to scripture and how we're all called to do it. So to get back to the question that you had asked me, greed is a twisting of that purpose that we're all called to. So we're all called to work, but we do it not for ourselves, but for God and his glory and for our neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor, the two greatest commandments. The same thing applies to our work. We work for God and we work for a neighbor. If I'm working for myself, just for myself, that can become sin. Mm-hmm. Certainly we have to do things for ourselves, care for ourselves, but sin is always that way. It's a twisting, it's a distortion of a good thing. So greed is a distortion, it's a twisting of the fact that we're all called to labor.
So there's so much here. I don't know if we're going to get to it all.
I don't know if we are either.
but a couple of things that popped into my head as you were talking about that. All of us then have that obligation.
Yeah.
And the right.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's where sometimes things get askew because not everyone gets the same opportunity.
No. That's right. So we have a right to work. In fact, just to be honest, if you go back early 20th century, even late 19th century, the Industrial Revolution and workers didn't have many rights. And the Catholic Church was one, if you can still read about this in the Catechism, supporting the right of workers to unionize, to not demand rights, but that the rights they already have as human beings, as laborers, that they be recognized.
So, actually, it's the first time really that Catholic social teaching was kind of laid out in an organized fashion in the document by Pope Leo the 13th,
yes,
Rerum Novarum.
Yep,
and that was all because of the way workers were being treated around the world, not just in certain countries, but around the world.
Yep.
Yeah, a way to try to again recognize the dignity of the person in their work world.
Exactly. Yeah. So that responsibility, and as you said, that right to work. So everybody has a right. Now, in our day and age, people are demanding all sorts of quote unquote rights.
Right.
So what that looks like, but that is nonetheless a reality that we all have that right to work.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Catechism. You mentioned the scripture.
Yep.
It's interesting. I think people might be surprised that you find references to work specifically in those places.
Yeah, and I just, if it's okay if we look at the Catechism just a little bit in detail.
Please.
So there's a couple paragraphs in the Catechism that speak to this in particular, and one sort of just reiterates what we were talking about earlier with Genesis, and I want to look at it briefly just because there's a couple other points here that it makes. So, but this is paragraph 378. So if you don't have a copy of the Catechism at home, you can find it online. The U.S. Bishops Conference website has it online, I think.
USCCB.org, and I think if you do a search within theirs, I think you'll find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not by page number, but by paragraph number. They're numbered. It's paragraph number 378, and it reads this way. The sign of man's familiarity with God is that God places him in the garden. There he lives to till it and keep it. Work is not yet a burden, but rather the collaboration of man and woman with God in perfecting the visible creation.
Hmm.
There's so much there, Jerry, especially I had previously underlined that second sentence. Work is not yet a burden, but it's rather the collaboration of man and woman with God in perfecting the visible creation. So our work is intended by God from the beginning to be our collaboration with Him. He's our Heavenly Father who is inviting His children out into the vineyard or out into the field, to use something that fits more fitting for our context. He's out working in the field already Himself, but He wants us to participate, to work with Him in the field, in the work of perfecting creation. So the goal of our work is not supposed to be for my own self-aggrandizement, for my own glorification. It's for God's glory, the love of my neighbor. It's for the perfecting of God's creation, which I think when you think, and everything we do, even the most mundane aspects of our jobs can bear witness to that. Everything, every little, maybe if I'm stuffing envelopes for a mailing we're doing for an event, that stuffing of the envelope can be a way of me perfecting God's visible creation.
I'm thinking about the way Bishop Barron often talks about things in terms of where we run into trouble. It's because we're looking for power, we're looking for money, we're looking for glory. I think it's
pleasure.
The three things that often take us awry, if you will.
Yep.
And I can see whether that can be applied here as well, based on just what you were talking about, right?
Yep. Yeah, we can, again,
we can disorder ourselves in a million different ways.
We absolutely can. It's very easy to do. And yet God is always giving us His grace. And I think in all sorts of ways, I think it's important to remember that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.
Yeah.
Every circumstance, even though I have an amazing capacity to screw things up, God has a greater capacity to empower me, not just to come in and fix my mess. He can do that, but He can also gift me, equip me to not only not make the mess to begin with, but to praise and glorify Him as well.
Yeah. I know you want to talk about a couple of these other things in the catechism, but one other thought that I just want to explore a little bit more before we maybe go back to that, and that is this whole issue of discernment. Because it seems to me, if we are indeed called to work, this idea that we talk about often, certainly in the sense of vocation, we use the word discernment, but frankly, we probably ought to all be applying that word to ourselves in what is God calling me to do in terms of my work?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. So we've talked about our kids before. My kids are younger than yours. My oldest is 14, so freshman in high school this year. As we've raised our kids, we've tried to instill them the reality of, you know, what do you want to do for your life? Ask God.
Mm-hmm.
Because He has a plan for every part of my life, including my profession, my day job. So trying to instill in our kids from an early age the idea of, as they're sorting through, what do they like? What are they drawn to? What are they interested in? God has a plan. He's working through their heart, through their interests, through their desires to show, to manifest, to make clear what His plan is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's probably not going to ask me to do something that I absolutely dread in terms of my job. But yeah, discerning that and asking Him. And I want to be clear, because in our work in discipleship and evangelization in the diocese, we've been talking a lot about discernment over the last, few years in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize, at least in myself, a temptation to reduce discernment to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So I might say, I'm going to discern that, which means I'm going to think about it. But discernment is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And so for me to discern means to really go to Him, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what Your will is.
Right.
So whoever you are, maybe you've been working for years and you sense maybe something else. Maybe you're entering the workforce as a high school graduate or college graduate. ask God for the gift of discernment to know what his plan is, because work is a part of his purpose, as we've just seen in Scripture and the Catechism.
Right, right. So, good. I just want to make sure we got that in there and didn't lose that. Yep. Feel free to continue with the Catechism lesson.
Just maybe one more in the time that we have left. Paragraph 901 in the Catechism is a long quote from the Second Vatican Council, one of its documents on what the Church is. And I don't want to read the whole of it, but just a little bit, just a part of it. It says, for all their work, this is about the lay people. So, Jerry, folks like you and I who are not ordained, not religious.
Right.
For all their works, prayers, and apostolic undertakings, family and married life, daily work, relaxation of mind and body, if they are accomplished in the spirit, indeed, even the hardships of life, if patiently borne, all these become spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, what's going on there is the Church is talking about how the bishops are talking about how we are all priests by virtue of our baptism, mm-hmm. and how we can offer everything as a spiritual sacrifice to him. Even our daily work, we can offer to God as a sacrifice, as a spiritual sacrifice that is pleasing to him. So, it also references the struggles of daily life, which can include your work.
Right.
So if you have a bad day, you can offer that to the Lord as a spiritual sacrifice, and he can take that and use it for the salvation of the world. Not to put too fine of a point on it.
We're part of it.
He invites us again to work in his vineyard, which means ultimately the salvation of the world.
And I liked what you said before, that we have no clue most of the time what our work is doing to impact another.
Yep.
That envelope you licked and got sent and received by somebody make all the difference in the world in their life. And you'll never know that.
I never know that.
Yep. And that's okay.
Because the hidden fruit of our labors is one of the things that I'm looking forward to. That's part of the final judgment, Jerry. Mm. We'll see the implications, the repercussions of every act, all of its ripples.
Wow.
Good and bad. The bad I'm not looking forward to, but the good.
That's hard to imagine. Probably about a minute left, Chris. And I just want to, I'm going to take you to one other place. So at the end of our life, we hope to be do well at the judgment.
Yes, yes.
And go to heaven. Will work be a part of our life then too?
In some sense, I think it will be, because it was part of God's plan for us from before the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So but what will that look like? Well, it's the perfecting of creation. So creation will be glorified and renewed. And yet I imagine that somehow we will continue to participate in its ongoing glorification and renewal.
One of those things we just can't even imagine.
We'll find out when we get there.
And then it won't matter.
Exactly.
one of those classic cases. Well, here's a little exploration that we've done this morning of what it means to work, the value of work, how it fits into our faith life. I hope it's been helpful for people. I love doing these little explorations with you. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And I hope people find some value in it as well. Dr. Chris Bergwell, thanks for being with us on Catholic Views.
You bet, Jerry.
Gene, the signaling that happens during this Labor Day season, one of them that I know our parishes are real focused on as they start their religious education programs, but they also start their RCAA classes.
It's a big time of the year, and we're getting back into routines. Tomorrow's Labor Day, and that's the end of the traditional end of summer, but even though we have a few more weeks on the calendar.
All right. Well, that's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.